540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East this morning, where the leader of Hamas says his group is nearing a truce agreement with Israel to release some of the hostages in Gaza. The BBC's Nick Beek is at the foreign desk.
The agreement now being discussed would include the release of Israeli women and children, as well as Palestinian women and children in Israeli detention. More aid would also be allowed into Gaza. Some families of the kidnapped expressed anger after meeting the Israeli war cabinet in Tel Aviv last night, arguing retrieving their loved ones should be prioritized over the mission to destroy Hamas.
Here in the U.S., the Thanksgiving getaway is getting underway. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve is at Newark Liberty Airport.
Airlines expect their busiest Thanksgiving ever. Since Thursday, more than 10 million have already passed through TSA checkpoints, well ahead of 2019's pre-pandemic numbers. With nearly 50,000 scheduled flights expected Wednesday alone, the FAA is opening up extra airspace along the East Coast,
using every tool at our disposal to keep cancellations and delays as low as possible.
Severe storms that ripped through the South last night damaged homes and knocked out power in parts of Mississippi and Louisiana. A story of survival from Hawaii. Tucker Hills lives close to a Marine Corps base near Oahu.
Four fire trucks passed the house and ambulance. And then like 10 minutes later, I got a text from my dad saying that apparently a plane crashed.
Military officials say none of the nine people aboard that U.S. Navy plane was hurt when it overshot a runway and went into a bay during a routine training mission. Police in Westcliff, Colorado are looking for someone who shot three people to death and critically wounded a fourth. Custer County Sheriff Rich Smith.
The suspect and at least one of the victims have been in previous civil disputes about property lines and easements.
Smith says the 45-year-old was driving a white Ram pickup with a camper shell. A federal appeals court has ruled neither private citizens nor civil rights groups has the right to sue under a key provision of 1965's Voting Rights Act. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
Through decades, over 50 years, and even very recently, just within the last year, the Supreme Court has heard cases brought by private plaintiffs under the Voting Rights Act and have awarded relief to private plaintiffs.
The brothers Kelce faced off at Arrowhead Stadium last night.
Hurts takes it right up the gut. Touchdown, Eagles.
Jason's team victorious over Travis on ESPN. Philadelphia beat Kansas City 21-17 in their first rematch since the Super Bowl. And no, Taylor Swift wasn't there. Neither were her parents. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credits parents use to pay for child care. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed billion-dollar boost to workforce programs and child care. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. Lawyers for the map supporters are expected to argue that contiguous has different meanings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks winning streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had no problems on the road, beating the Washington Wizards 142-129. Milwaukee, with a five-game winning streak, head to Boston to play the Celtics 6:30 tomorrow night. Bobby Portis in the loud winning locker room says he enjoys the support of his teammates.
It's fun just to have guys that instill confidence in you on a daily basis. I think we instill confidence in one another to go out there and just hoop and just play free. Obviously, it's just only 14 games in, but I like where we're at.
the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play the Minnesota Gophers for the Paul Bunyan Axe coming up on Saturday. That comes after the Badgers' overtime win against Nebraska. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
We celebrated. We enjoyed. There was a lot of things on Saturday night, but most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about, getting the axe and making sure we understand and respect everything about this game and this rivalry.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies today with scattered rain showers likely. High of 40. North winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 29. Tonight, mainly cloudy. High of 42. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Zommers, over on the board. It is Monday, November 12th. 20th. Why do I keep saying 12th? I don't know. 20th, 2023. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. Coming up later on at 1:20, in about, well, less than 20 minutes away. 1:20, our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach, great Madison legend in terms of an author, a writer, a reporter, just all around great guy. He'll be joining us at 1:20 and talking about life, talking about Thanksgiving. It is Axe Week in terms of Badger football, talking about the Badgers getting back on track. And who else? Or what else? You know, I mean, John, you could talk to John Roach about anything, and it's interesting. So grab your cup of cider or whatever your beverage of choice and join us at 20 minutes past the hour for a great conversation with John Roach. Right now, I want to get to this story, news of the odd and the weird. Weird and wacky, as Johnny Carson once said. I did not know that. So the Iowa caucuses are coming up in January, end of January, and Donald Trump leading the pack on the Republican side. And he says a lot of goofy things, right, on the campaign trail. And for those that might not remember, back in 2016, people like Stephen Colbert on late night, where they made a big deal. Colbert actually did a show from Russia at a hotel where Trump allegedly at one time was involved in an orgy in which one of the participants peed on him. That is known for, there are people, believe it or not, who apparently are into this. They get their jollies off of it. It's called a golden shower for obvious reasons. And allegedly, there are pee tapes of this occurring that Vladimir Putin has. And some people claim that's one of the things that Putin has on Trump. Why he has so much control. I'm not making this up, by the way. This is real.
If I am in charge of one of the largest countries in the world, I am not letting my decisions be influenced over somebody having a video of me getting peed on. Like, I'll just get over it.
I'm just reporting.
I know.
I'm just reporting.
I believe it was Donald Trump because he's so self-centered.
And so this has kind of like died away, right? You don't hear much about this anymore. This is something that brought up in 2016, kind of in 2020, but we don't hear much about it anymore. And so this is what made it so interesting. Over the weekend, Donald Trump is down in Iowa campaigning for president and talking about having, over the course of his life, having to have difficult conversations with his wife, Melania, about things that he allegedly did. And this is what Trump chooses to talk about
in 2023 in Iowa.
He was with four hookers. You think that was good that night to go up and tell my wife, it's not true, darling. I love you very much. It's not true. Actually, that one she didn't believe because she said he's a germaphobe. He's not into that, you know? He's not into golden showers, as they say they call it. He's not. I don't like that idea. No, I didn't. I thought that would be a big problem. I was going to have a rough night, but that one she was very good on. She said, no.
So he thought he's going to have a big problem telling his wife that, you know, there's evidence out there of me taking getting a golden shower. But no, that was fine. She was fine with that because she didn't believe him because it's such a germaphobe. Like, I don't know whether it's right or wrong or true or untrue. I don't know. I just find it odd that, again, somebody running for president of the United States, the leading candidate of one of the major parties, Republican, chooses to bring up a story that had kind of died away.
Once again.
And he, you know, it seems like thou dost protest too much to me.
Yes, it is very much like you get pulled over and it's like, good evening, officer. I do not have 30 pounds of marijuana in my trunk.
So this leads us to today's edition of What's Worse? Mr. Zomers, if you please.
Choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, no prizes whatsoever, just your chance to call in and voice your opinion on a question across the state and around the world. Today's What's Worse is, what's worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's? Give us a call.
Well, we have some McRib haters, either you or Chris Pauls.
Out of 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What's worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's? And don't forget, I mean, I was a big fan when the McRib first came out. I always had it no onions because I don't like raw onions on like that kind of stuff. But I think I tried it once where they brought it back before. I'm like, ugh, I don't know why I love that so much at the time. I think I like the barbecue sauce more than the actual McRib.
I've never had a McRib.
Well, now your chance. What's worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib is back at McDonald's? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Jay, across the pond in London. Jay, what say you?
You need a big hug. It's not November 12, okay?
All right. Well, I can always use a hug, Jay. Absolutely.
So, I asked Aaron to give you a big hug on my behalf.
All right, well, I appreciate that. So, yeah, what do you think is worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning in Iowa about golden showers, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's? First of all, do you have the McRib over there in the UK at the McDonald's over there?
I tell you what, I'm not a fan of McDonald's. Your sister is not a fan of, like, going to fast food. I cook. That's why I said, anytime I come to the United States, whatever states I am, I'm going to be cooking. And I say, Aaron, get on a plane. Come take the food to the studio. Quick. All right?
We appreciate that. We appreciate that. Well, yeah, I, you know, I've gone through phases in my life. I'm a big Culver's person these days. We have Culver's over here, fresh, never frozen. It's fantastic. There are two things I get a hankering for McDonald's. About once or twice a year, a filet of fish, and usually an hour later I ask myself, why did I do that? But the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit in the morning at McDonald's, that's pretty good. But McRib, so-so.
The other day I had, Aaron was saying, oh, I didn't eat. I feel so bad. I say, oh my goodness, my son is not eating. How do I feed the food to him? My pastel is...
Well, very good. Very good. Well, go ahead.
No, I think golden sour is the worst because you know what? I always say Christopher Steele is right. I know Christopher Steele. This guy is the real deal. He worked for MI6.
Really?
And whatever he said about the Soviet Union, he knows what he's saying. But the Republican Party, they walk the left and they dismiss the guy.
All right.
Pay attention.
Very good. Okay. So we have a vote for Donald Trump campaigning about golden showers worse than the McRib back at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jay. We appreciate you. Have a great day over there or a great night in the UK. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Today's edition of What's Worse? That Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's. Let's go to the phone lines. Ron in Milwaukee. Ron, what's worse?
Well, I might surprise some people, but I'd say the McRib is worse.
And why?
And, I'm like you. I had one. Well, I had one just like you, and I had the same reaction. But that's pretty bad, right?
Right, yeah.
But, no, there's two reasons why Donald Trump talking about golden showers on the is not worse than a McRib. And one is he said the part aloud that he wasn't supposed to say. That's good for our side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let him go ahead and talk about it. He's apparently worried about it coming back up again. I mean, he makes a pretty good stand-up comic on these, you know, but it's not a serious person kind of a vote, you know.
Right.
But the other part of it is, and he doesn't know this, it's urine, forgive the use of the term, is not really full of bacteria. It's fairly antiseptic. The
right.
problem is it's acidic. It's not good to drink because it'll cause you an upset stomach. And if it's somebody else's, of course, well, it could be that you've gotten away of some of that, and maybe they're not feeling well or something like that,
sure.
you know, and the other things happen.
Well,
yes,
the point is,
itself is not
right.
You can drink that stuff if you're on a raft in the ocean. And you need, and you don't have any clean drink that stuff for a little while. It wouldn't hurt you at all.
Well, I think the point is, the point is, let's just not drink any of it. So you're saying that the McRib is worse than campaigning on golden showers.
And here's the deal. Mm. You can wash the McRib down with.
All right. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate the call. That's all right. I appreciate the call, Ron. Look, but I do think he's right. I do think he's right on Trump bringing this up all the time. You know, I mean, he's obviously worried about it, right?
Yeah. Similarly, Andrew from Verona has texted in and he said, not here to kink shame anyone, but when the GOP calls itself the party of family values, it's laughable that they blindly follow the guy with the PP tapes.
Right. Exactly. Not here. My favorite part of that tweet, by the way, is the first line. Not here to kink shame anyone. I guess, right? I mean, each to their own, I guess.
Andrew also said, we all know Todd goes to Quick Trip for the barbecue pork rib sandwich, far superior to the McRib.
Is it? I've never had a...
I have.
Never,
it's not bad.
I've never had a barbecue pork rib sandwich at Quick Trip.
Yeah, it's not bad.
See, here's my thing. I'm not big on, how should I say, pre-prepared food that sits for a long time. I'm just not big on that.
Me either.
And the thing is, and here's why, because I'll take a chance. Occasionally, I'll gas up, usually not a quick, I mean, I do go to Quick Trip, but I mean, it might be like a mobile occasionally. And I'm really hungry, and I see like a bacon, egg, and whatever sandwich sitting there in their hot sandwich window. And so I'll give it a try, pre-prepared. And ultimately, it just isn't the same as something that's prepared right away. So anyway, appreciate everybody calling in on What's Worse. We'll have a new What's Worse for you tomorrow. Stay tuned now. We have John Roach coming up straight away. Conversations about the Axe Week at UW and anything else. Thanksgiving and whatever else is on John Roach's mind. Stay tuned to the Todd Ball Show and Civic Media.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right.
Hi! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show, 20 now past the hour. Welcome in here. We have our monthly conversation with our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach. He is a great author, worked for Madison Magazine for several years, still appears in several columns here and there, works on screenplays. In fact, John, I was, my dad recently had a big, he was a teacher for like, 40 years. And he had a bunch of DVDs that he played for his kids, and he was going to give a bunch of them away. And I said, well, let me go through those. And so I was going through, and one of the DVDs that he had, which I did not have it on DVD, I've talked about it before, was the screenplay that you co-wrote, The Straight Story.
Yeah. No, it's The Straight Story's had a little rebirth with the Disney Channel because the domestic distribution rights belong to the Disney company, obviously... Yeah, when the film premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, which was a wonderful thing to be a part of, the opening credit came up and it said Walt Disney presents a David Lynch film, and the whole crowd started laughing. Understandably, it was a unique pairing. And now with the Disney Channel becoming, pretty much everywhere because of. Primarily because of kids. But that's one of the theatrical offerings, the non-animated offerings they have on the Disney Channel. And it still gets great reviews, a small film, but one that, I can't help but be proud of.
You should be very, very proud of it. It's still to date one of my all-time favorite films, not just because of the writing, which is fantastic, which what you were a part of, but just the way that the film allows the story to be told. It's like slow food or a pour over coffee. It's not rushed. It's not hurried. It's organic and it's beautifully laid out and just allows itself to happen. And that's really the key to the whole film, I think.
Yeah, my old friend Doug Moe once called it defiantly slow.
That's good.
And it's just such a wonderful counterpoint to... it's a total change of pace from a lot of the films that are out there now, rapid fire and CGI and all that sort of stuff, which there's certainly a place for that. But, David kind of made European style films pretty much. And did them very well. And still does.
By the way, you don't know this, but those listening to our Black Friday show this Friday are going to hear this segment again because we're going to replay this. Even before I knew what it was going to be, I said, well, anything John Roach is going to be good enough we can replay. So some people are hearing this on Friday. So just to let people know, we were reporting that over the weekend Donald Trump was campaigning or disputing this whole thing that he had gotten a golden shower by some hookers over in Iowa. And he came in over the break and he said, I never followed a segment about golden showers before, but you said you think it's
true.
You
know what they say, never follow chimpanzees is an old show business adage. But yeah, I've never followed a urine act before.
But you think, you agree, it there's a lot of validity to it, that it actually happened.
Well, look, the story is that as a courtesy to Trump, the people doing competitor research, which they'd hired, a respected British intelligence officer to do, came upon this rumor about Trump in Moscow that was in the pipeline. And as a courtesy to Trump, they gave it to him, right? Mm-hmm. Should he become president, that's good to know what compromise they might have on you. True or not, right?
Right.
In this era of false news and AI-generated content, the leader of the free world should know what the opposition has on him. But somehow Trump took umbrage with it and made it public. It was not made public by the Clinton campaign. And so, and there is a little bit of thou doth protest too much with it.
Right.
And if you consider the fact that Donald Trump, you know, thrice married and all sorts of lurid charges made to him by all sorts against him by all sorts of women. And he was doing a beauty pageant in Moscow, mm-hmm. Surrounded by pretty women. God only knows what transpired, given his character, mm-hmm. honestly, his mm-hmm. character. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Putin had compromise on him. I mean, yeah. not at all. And certainly in light of the fact of how he was so deferential to Putin during his administration, including taking a private meeting with Putin when he visited the U.S. with no one in the room. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a Trump fan. So.
Neither am I. How about McRibs? They ever had a McRib sandwich?
Not a McRib guy. I do agree with you on the breakfast egg McMuffin,
right?
Sausage McMuffin.
Yeah, that's hard to beat.
A great, great filling breakfast. And I am partial to the occasional order of McDonald's french fries.
Yeah, I know.
You just,
right?
You know, I'm old enough to remember when McDonald's first broke upon the scene with a big Catholic family, Irish Catholic family going down to Park Street in Madison. The first one was on Park Street. It was Kelly's and then became McDonald's. And you'd get a pickle with your hamburger, which was viewed as novel. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea of just getting a bag of burgers and throwing them at your kids in the car was unheard of. They didn't even serve you car side like A&W did and hang the tray on the window. Which that was already being done, but just to have pre-wrapped burgers with no plates, no utensils, and you just eat it out of the wrapper and the fries and the burger, for a young couple with a lot of kids, it was a great way to feed a lot of young, hungry mouths. And obviously it was a business concept that has stood the test of time.
Done very, very well. And like I said, when it comes to actual burgers, for me, it's just hard to beat a Culver's butter burger. On the fresh frozen, the fresh never frozen.
Yeah, you know, I like Culver's, but I'll tell you, there's an above premium craft burger out there called Mooga Burgers. Have you heard of them?
They're pretty
Mooga
good.
Burgers. There are two or three franchises in Madison. That is a great cheeseburger. Oh,
really?
My. And good fries.
All right.
It's pricey, but boy, is it good. It's right up there with Five Guys and In-N-Out, where they're, you know, kind of these, you know, like they're craft beers. Now they're craft burger joints.
Right.
But Mooga Burger is really good. But Culver's, you know, I remember my wife and I were escaping the winter weather and we were in Florida. And out of nowhere, my wife spied Culver's down in Florida. Uh-huh. And she screamed in the car like I thought we had hit a small animal or something. And she just screamed, "There's a Culver's, pull over." And so it's a little taste of home down in Florida, but I guess they're throwing a lot of them up there down in Florida now.
Yeah.
You know, Craig Culver, kind of a genius.
A real genius. And the thing is, I've had the occasion to, I don't want to say he's, you know, I don't know him, a close friend, but through my association with politics and stuff, I kind of got to know him and was around him a little bit. And just one of the chillest, most humble guys. And really, the thing I love about Craig Culver, I think he still does it. He goes to one of his franchisees. It used to be once a week. Now it might be once a month. And actually works, like on the grill or busing or whatever. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's a... you know, there are a lot of these entrepreneurial stories around Madison, you know, between Judith Faulkner, Greg Linton at Promega, Craig Culver, you know, the Bakke family with Sub-Zero refrigerators on the southwest side of town. Remarkable American manufacturing story. You know, Madison has a lot of these stories and they're, you know, pretty, pretty remarkable.
They're super remarkable, and I think we'll come back and talk about this on the other side during this Thanksgiving week. A lot to be thankful for. We'll ask John Roach of some Thanksgiving traditions of his family, and what he thinks of the holiday now. That is also Axe Week for Wisconsin Badgers. They got a win, John. They're back on the winning streak, as he looks a bit surprised. Back with more with Mr. John Roach on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The leader of Hamas says a truce agreement with Israel to secure the release of some of the hostages is close.
Udi Gorin, whose cousin is among them, protested in Tel Aviv.
What we've heard is that taking down Hamas and bringing the hostages are as important, are equally important.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg vowing to do all within his power to get Americans to Thanksgiving dinner on time.
While we can't control the weather, we will also be using every tool at our disposal to keep cancellations and delays as low as possible.
Tomorrow and Sunday are expected to be the busiest travel days. Police in Westcliff, Colorado are searching for a suspect in a shooting that left three people dead and a fourth in critical condition. Custer County Sheriff Rich Smith.
We have a very good lead on where he is right now. Okay. In fact, literally right as I walked up, I was getting a text from the local chief of police that's handling it.
The sheriff says there'd been disputes over property lines and easements. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The athletic director at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville has died. The university did not provide details Monday, only that Christina Navarro Krupka was pregnant and her death was unexpected. Navarro Krupka grew up in Madison and was in her fourth year as director of athletics and assistant chancellor at Platteville. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous districts are unconstitutional.
If you were simply to take the islands and put them in the districts that surround them, it would eliminate the contiguity problem and you wouldn't have any population problems in the existing map.
Berg was on Upfront on WISN-TV. The map's challengers will argue that the way the maps were drawn was unconstitutional. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies today with scattered rain showers likely. High of 40. North winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 29. Tonight, mainly cloudy. High of 42. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 34 minutes past the hour. Welcome in. Glad to have you here. And we are certainly glad for our monthly visit with our friend and ongoing contributor. He is Mr. John Roach, an author, a playwright. I like to call him a Renaissance man because John is one of those guys who's done everything, kind of seen everything. And you can, I hope people are sitting with their hot cup of cider on this Thanksgiving weekend or whatever other beverage that they enjoy, because you're, John, one of these people that I just love to listen to. And you tell it absolutely. You write fantastically. You tell great stories. We were talking over the break that over this past weekend, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter passed away at the age of 96. And to me, and I talked about this on As Goes Wisconsin with Jane and Greg filling in for Kristen Bry. To me, she epitomized the definition of a helper. That she was a humanitarian and a helper. I didn't know until we were just talking during the break. You had the opportunity to talk with and interview the former First Lady, Rosalynn Carter. What are your thoughts?
I thought she was an impressive woman. I thought she was a serious woman, a woman of substance. She wasn't frivolous. You know, there was in the prep, they said, you know, they were called her the Iron Magnolia, that she was... very much a partner with Jimmy in his decision making. But she handled herself with great dignity, you know, as much as you can learn with someone with a half an hour in an interview, sure. But handled herself with great dignity, measured her responses, and was a serious person.
What was the occasion that was it?
Was it overwhelming reaction?
Was it a political piece or a feature piece? Do you remember what it was?
I don't know what she was touring for. You know, this was back in my Chicago days. There was a flurry of interviews that I produced and did with Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Teddy Kennedy. But I think this was after it. It might have been one of her initiatives as First Lady, and it might have been a book after. I think it was probably for a book. Actually, yeah. Now that I think back on it.
Well, you brought up, she was one of the first people to really be visible with her husband, since we only had male presidents so far. Well, one of the first ladies to sit in cabinet meetings, to really be an advisor to the president. I think maybe at the time that rubbed some people the wrong way. She was also a great advocate for talking openly about mental health and advocating for that after her stint as first lady.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, she was an honorable woman as Jimmy was an honorable man. I don't know that Jimmy was one of our greatest presidents. I think he was a stranger to Washington and never quite got his footing there. But, you know, you could argue he's the greatest ex-president we've ever had. He illustrates or exhibits the kind of behavior you expect from a former president in the United States of America, a real honorable guy too. I don't know that he had the right staff. I read a great book by Haynes Johnson, who was a Wisconsin grad, who was a longtime writer for the Washington Post. It was called In the Absence of Power. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy's staff didn't know how to work Congress very well in the outset. And they had Tip O'Neill as Speaker of the House, and they didn't work very closely with him on some of those initiatives. That was a mistake, I think. But that's a very long time ago. But Rosalynn had great dignity is the first thing that springs to mind.
The former president's still with us. He's now, I believe, 98 or 99. But Rosalynn passed away at 96. I mean, all the great work they did with Habitat for Humanity. Sure. And our friend and colleague Earl Ingram on his morning show pointed out that isn't the irony of the current iteration of the MAGA Republican Party trying to literally wrap itself within Christianity. Right or wrong, John, or agree, disagree, we might not have ever had a great example of a true Christian in the White House is Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter.
There's no question. I was thinking the same thing. He is what I think Jesus Christ had in mind for his followers. Right. I'm not sure the MAGA people are at all. I think they're just the opposite, actually. And they use they shroud themselves in Christianity and do things that are hideous and don't resemble it. And I'm speaking as someone who had 12 years of religious education. So,
yeah. Speaking of things that were hideous, I wanted to get your thoughts on. We talked about this at the top of the show, but I'd just like to get your thoughts as a AEW grad, as a you know a Madisonian. That over the weekend we had 15, 20 Yahoos, schmucks, neo-Nazis marching here in Madison, and by all accounts they were not local. They got a U-Haul truck in darkness afterwards and drove away. But to me, it's just repugnant. It's disgusting. When you saw this over the weekend, John, what were your thoughts?
I was appalled. I didn't know about it, and I'll tell you, I wish I had known about it and could have gone down because I, you know, they wore the pictures that I saw. They wore ski masks,
all
right?
But two. Yep,
and I wanted to follow them, and you know, roll tape on them when they peeled those masks off.
Yep,
and to out them. Now they're within their rights to have that march. I think it's good that we are able to identify them, and then subject them to the derision that they deserve. But whenever I see these dopes, I'm reminded of the Blues Brothers where, you know, the Nazis marched in Skokie and it's like, there's a famous line that says, I hate Illinois Nazis. Right. I mean, they're a caricature of themselves. They're sad, you know, incel, ignorant white guys. Mm. And they're pathetic creatures, but they're also dangerous creatures.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trump has gotten a footing in our democracy with the kind of rhetoric that these guys trot out is appalling to me, mm-hmm. you know? And I was more inclined to take them lightly 10 years ago than I am now in light of what has happened to America with Donald Trump.
Well, speak to that if you could. Again, we're talking with John Roach, a longtime, lifelong Madisonian author and screenwriter, all around just great guy and an observer of life, John Roach. John, talk to us, our audience, a little bit about your time going to campus here at UW-Madison, protests and that sort of thing, versus what's going on now. It seems to me, if I was certainly a person of the Jewish faith, a student on campus here, other places, but even someone of the Islamic faith, the anti-Semitism, the Islamophobia, the amount of hate that is just, it seems to me it's gotten worse, John. Or as someone who's lived a few more years than me, is it just relevant?
No, I think there are two things at work. First of all, I think Donald Trump gave mainstream legitimacy to playing the hate card. And mm-hmm. Then the second reason is that social media has given everyone a platform and made what used to be embarrassing behavior commonplace. You know, I grew up in the era of the John Birch Society and, you know, kind of radical right stuff. Certainly the Klan, certainly the civil rights movement of the 60s, you know, garnered a reactionary, reactionary activities from the far right, the Klansmen, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a Wisconsin grad was killed, you know, during the civil rights marches. You know, there was a movie about it that, what was it called? Darn it. Escapes me now, but
yeah.
So it's there, right? But there, it to me, it's a function of who's allowed to fan the flames, to blow on the embers, and that's what Trump has done. It's always been there, will always be there, but Donald Trump gave it legitimacy. He gave cruelty legitimacy, and then social media acts like you know, is a bullhorn for him.
Yeah.
And there are no rules in social media. And so people are allowed to say the most awful things. And now we have Elon Musk, who seems to have lost his ever-loving mind, you know, espousing marginal things that no self-respecting business person should. In the name of free speech, which he's mistaken, speech isn't free and it's not absolute. You have to exercise responsibility when you speak, and he hasn't. So I feel like he's envies Trump for some reason. It's a weird thing. But I do think right now it's worse because of Trump and because of social media. And I like social media.
Right.
But unregulated social media brings out a lot of weird people, a lot of hateful, uninformed, ignorant people.
And we talked about this story briefly earlier about Elon Musk and DeSantis on Jake Tapper's show refused to repudiate it or call it out. But good on all these companies.
Well, DeSantis, can I say, yeah. DeSantis is trying to make a living punching down.
Right.
He picks the most vulnerable people in our society and he makes them a punching bag, which he picked that strategy up from Trump. Immigrants are powerless and he punches down on them. Trans people, which is an incredibly small percentage of our population, and somehow he wants to punch down there. Mm-hmm. He is picking up Trump's gauntlet of fear and anger as a campaign strategy instead of talking about solutions and hope. I'm embarrassed for DeSantis. And I do think he wears lifts in his shoes. And he's one of the most socially uncomfortable
yes.
political candidates I have ever seen.
Right?
He has a hard time mustering a smile. I mean, right. what is that?
But you,
I find, to
your point,
I think Nikki Haley is the only legitimate, you know, between Trump, Haley, and DeSantis, mm-hmm. Haley's the only person who seems remotely sane to me. And I don't agree with her on her, you know, platform or anything, mm-hmm. but she actually seems like a sane human being.
Talk to me about, because you mentioned all these past former presidents that you've interviewed and been involved, interviewed a lot of political figures over your life and career. What do you make of the current iteration of the MAGA party going back and trying to, over the weekend, relitigate January 6th and trying to say it was the feds doing this? They keep trying to bring back the past. All these people you mentioned, whether it was Kennedy or either Bush or Reagan, they were always talking about the future or more about what they offered people in the future. Why are fewer politicians talking about, particularly on the MAGA Republican side, less about what they offer in the future and trying to relitigate the past?
Well, they have to, I mean, they're going through a crisis of identity. They have nothing to offer a new generation of Americans. They have nothing to say to people who live on the margins of our society. So they choose to demonize them. The problem with the Republican Party is that, you know, they made noise about a big tent and then they abandoned that strategy. Mm-hmm. But they have no future unless they adopt a strategy similar to that. And so what I mean, personally, as someone who studied history at the university, I think this is a party in its death throes because the demographics don't bode well for them. No. And in the midst of it all, here, you know, comes the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. Independent of the issue itself, it from a political standpoint, it's be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. Because I think that reversal and the Republic, Donald Trump's stacking of the deck in the Supreme Court, that is going to walk into every polling booth with every woman in America come next fall. And it was just like my wife said. She said, I think Donald Trump's going to do better than people think against Hillary. They just don't want to admit they're going to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Roe v. Wade reversal is going to have the same effect. Even Republican women who ostensibly support Trump or support stuff that's right of center, mm-hmm. when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them because they know someone or they themselves have had to look at that decision for themselves as women. And that is that cuts to the very essence of what a person, what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. And I think that is frankly, to speak in Wisconsin terminology, mm-hmm. the reverse of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again. I think that's perfect analogy. We're using that in the promo. Mark that down, Mr. Zomers. We're going to come back, talk Thanksgiving, and talk Axe Week. Can the Flexsters beat the Flicksters or Flick and Fleck? We'll talk about it after this. Stay tuned to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let biased algorithms,
or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the top of the hour, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, our friend and colleague. He will be in taking you to the front lines of history. He reminds us, history being made every minute of every day. Matt Flynn will take us to the front lines with Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, John Roach, Madison author, screenwriter, all-around great guy, Renaissance man, joins us once a month. We appreciate it so much, John. Let's get into it. It is Axe Week. Your Wisconsin Badgers found a way to win and beat Nebraska. I did not know this. I forget. It might have been Patricus. One of the sports writers pointed out the last time Nebraska Cornhuskers beat the Badgers at Camp Randall, the winning score was scored by Barry Alvarez. I did not know that.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
How about that?
Can I tell you, when Nebraska joined the Big Ten, I was at that first game when they played in Madison, and I just thought, these people are in for a rude awakening. But I was happy they joined the Big Ten, because after walking around, I realized that Wisconsin people were no longer going to be the fattest people in red in the Big Ten. And I took comfort in that, because they like, you know, they're pretty corn fed out in Nebraska.
They are.
It was a great win for Luke Fickell. Tanner Mordecai put the Badgers on his back.
Yep.
They outscored the Cornhuskers 24-3 in quarters 2, 3, 4 in OT, to their credit. Luke Fickell has a lot of work to do in the offseason. He has a reputation of being a good recruiter. That prowess will be put to the test. I'm not I don't think the Badgers have an offensive identity yet. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that Phil Longo knows what their identity is yet. I think that they need more wide receivers. Clearly, we lose Tanner Mordecai. That's a big deal with the offense Fickell wants to run. And we also need to get a pass rush. But I do think we're in the hunt. I don't know if we're favored against Minnesota, but I imagine we might be.
I haven't seen the line, but I think maybe.
I do think that second to Michigan versus Ohio State, Wisconsin versus Minnesota is the best rivalry in Big Ten football. The Axe is an icon that is known beyond the region. And I think the Badgers, if Mordecai stays healthy, they have a better than – I think actually losing Pauling is the biggest thing. Is their most dependable receiver. Mm-hmm. He's a receiver who could actually be drafted. And he came up lame on an ankle, and if he doesn't play, that's a big deal.
What about the call?
I love beating PJ Fleck.
I know,
I just love beating him but I also think PJ Fleck is the future. That is what head coaches are going to be. They're going to be marketers. They're going to be, drum beaters. You know, Paul Christ, who was a family friend, he was more of a good old-fashioned football coach. Fickell is more of the CEO type. Mm-hmm. That is the nature of the beast, given all the money that is on the table now.
Right.
You're going to see more guys like Fleck than Paul, I dare say. But it just tickles me no end to see the Badgers beat the Gophers. I will also say that my daughter, who's a Badger grad, has a friend who made a replica of the axe, and they bring it every Badger Wisconsin game. And I do have a picture of myself with the axe that I fly every weekend when the Badgers play the Gophers. Remember, I grew up within, I grew up within 5 blocks of Camp Randall. So.
That's great. My favorite most recent, our next door neighbor back at Richland Center, Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, captain of the team his senior year, along with Russell Wilson and Aaron Henry. There's a great photo after they won the axe. It was either 10 or 11 of Brady holding the axe at number 34 running around Camp Randall. So I always post that.
Brady threw the block that sprung the Wisconsin kick returner in the opening kickoff against Ohio State.
Yeah. Right,
most famous block in Wisconsin history.
I will tell him.
I believe
he'll get a big kick out of that.
think it was Brady.
I'm pretty sure you're right. But Brady is humble and honest enough; he'll tell me if it wasn't. So we'll report back next month to you. But I think you're sure. Absolutely right. The axe, and you can hear that here on Civic Media Radio Network on Richland Center, WRCE, also Racine, Kenosha, Amory, and Wisconsin Rapids. We've got Matt LaPay and Mark Tellinger on the call. Mike Keller with the post game show always does a great job. You can hear that, or you can
Matt and Mark are the best, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also stream that on the Civic Media app, the big axe game this Saturday. We'll check. It's either a 2:30 or a 6 game. I'm not sure, but we will check on that. Very quickly, a couple of minutes left, John. It is Thanksgiving week. Any reflections or thoughts, traditions in your family when it comes to Thanksgiving?
Well, we just had the second grandchild in our family.
Yes, congratulations, Calvin. By the way.
And both my daughter and Calvin and Calvin's sister Rose and my daughter Maggie's husband Brian are doing great, as is the rest of the family who is helping take care of them. So you always are grateful when everyone's healthy after an event like that. The older I get, the less I take it for granted.
Right.
On Thanksgiving, I'm always grateful for the big families that both my wife and I belong to, because specifically because my wife's sisters make a massive assortment of pies.
Oh my God. That's great.
I don't bother with the turkey or the stuffing or the gravy, although I'm partial to mashed potatoes being of Irish descent. But boy, they lay out like 5 pies, and I just cut to the pies.
Why not?
Apple pie, pumpkin pie, and I like fake have an entree just so I can get right to the pies. And that's what I'm really grateful. And there's another thing I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
This Thanksgiving, the Packers play the Lions in the morning, and that throws back to my youth when the Lions had Yale Larry and Night Train Lane and all these old names, and obviously the Packers had all the Lombardi Packers.
For people,
but that was true Americana when the Lions played the Packers on Thanksgiving Day, and no one else played that game.
Right. Well, people hearing this on Friday will know the results, but our friend and colleague Earl Ingram has bet dyeing his gray hair black if the Packers win, and Gilbert Brown is going to give an autographed shirt, I think, to Earl.
The Lions are ascendant, and I'm happy for them because no one has suffered longer than Lions fans.
Right.
And the city of Detroit deserves a winner.
But go Pack go, and on Wisconsin, and get that axe from the Flexters up there in Minnesota this weekend. John Roach, you are a blessing to us each and every month.
Thanks, Todd.
We appreciate you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Have a happy Thanksgiving to you too, and you too, Aaron. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much. Stay tuned. Our friend Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. Until tomorrow, for John Roach, for Aaron Zomers, I'm Todd Alvall. Whatever you're fighting for and believe in, don't give up. Keep banging your drum. Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.